Would you stand for the word of God? It's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. I talked to you last week about the wealth of faith, and this morning I want to talk to you about worship of faith. And faith is it seemed like to be something on my heart and my mind, and the thing is this, I think the problem we all churches have and we all have is faith. Our faith hinders us doing great mighty things. We have troubles and problems and mountains in our life. We go, how are we going to do this and how are we going to do that? And then faith is what we struggle with. I mean, why should a Christian really struggle with anything? Why should when I say struggle, meaning worry about what's going to happen? Why do a Christian need to be fearful for anything? Fearful for anything. Our God is a mighty God. There's only but one God, and He's the only true God. And yet we worry and struggle. And I say that maybe you got it and you're all fixed on it, then good. Amen. This message is for me then, because I need God. I need more God. But look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. And it says this, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of the things do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And yet it does speaketh, doesn't it? Yet generation to generation, I imagine like men like Dale Moody and Spurgeon preach from the same text and is telling the same people years back and says, you need to grow in faith, trusting in this Almighty God. And yet his testimony does still speaks. And this morning it's going to speak some more. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, I do thank you for your goodness, Lord. God, I thank you for your presence and your power. God, I thank you for your reading of your word. And I pray you bless it and honor it and challenge the people's hearts. God, I know my struggle is faith. I know their struggle is faith because we are men of sinful flesh and we look at ourselves and we're not trusting you completely, oh God. But God, help us to take where we're at today and draw closer to you, Lord. Lord, I pray you hide me behind the cross this morning. I pray you challenge the people's heart. I pray the Holy Spirit's challenged hearts, Father. If someone this morning is lost, not 100% sure, Lord, I pray they'll get saved today, Lord. I pray they get it set in life. Their life was changed as you change each one of us, Lord. But Father, where maybe people are saved, bought by your blood, and they're going home to you, Lord, I pray they hear your word and be challenged to grow closer to you and trust and depend on you. But Lord, whatever you have desire for their hearts and challenge, I pray you speak, because Lord, we come to hear from you. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In this fact, I want to look at text verses 4. Verse 4, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And I've kind of been flipping about going back to it, but I'm just going to read it to you a little bit. In Genesis chapter 4, it comes basically from this text here. In verse 1 in Genesis chapter 4, it says, and Abraham knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she began, it says, she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstling of the flocks and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So you see in the story here, it talks about two brothers, how they come to worship God. And one brought the fruit of the ground, one brought a lamb. And this is where in verse 4, the Hall of Fame of Faith, or the Book of Faith in chapter 11, speaks of Abel's offering to God was more excellent sacrifice. It was declared that he was righteous, and he yet being dead, yet speaketh of his faith. And this is the first act of worship. We see in this, we see one lamb for one man, that was Abel. He worshiped God with his offering as a lamb sacrifice. We see one lamb for one family, and you see this in Exodus, where it was the Passover night, and was one lamb without spot, blemish. It was a male lamb, and it was for the house. We see also one lamb for the nation, the great day of atonement, where this is a day which the high priest went out to the Holy of Holies and he presented the blood on the ark. And they tied a rope around his ankle because if he had sin, he would die, and they had to pull him out. But this was that one lamb for one nation. We see the lamb for one world. John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." When he shed his holy blood at sacrifice on the cross, he shouted, "It is finished." This is one lamb for the world. Faith trusts God's will in spite of circumstances. Faith is not based on feelings, logic, or reason. Abel knew this. His faith looks to the future and does not tremble at the present. And you think about that. His faith looks into the future and did not tremble at the present, yet we tremble all the time about what if, what are we going to do. Yet, we let it down. He says, listen, the faith is also letting down our nets in a deep waters of divine command, not knowing what we bring up. Faith never comes to a wall and says we can't overcome it. It moves the wall or tunnels through it. Faith binds nothingness to almightiness. Faith is our only way to increase. It's going through, consenting through our testing, and we must rest on God's promises. By faith, though, we see that Abel worshiped God, but he recognized one thing. First, it recognizes sin. It says, by faith, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God. The heroes of faith, as you see in the beginning, was Abel, Enoch, and Noah. Abel was murdered. Enoch never died, and Noah preserved life. Their faith showed one worshiping God, one walking with God, and one working for God. But the heroes of faith, we see the first martyr. He pictures of a true worshiper. Abel is a faith that describes the beginning of a life of faith. His act of faith by not feelings. This was a first recorded act of faith. But it recognized his condition or recognized his sin. Abel brought the offering because he knew his condition as a sinful man. Psalms 51 verse 5, David says, "Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." John 1:17 tells all of sin, all unrighteousness is sin. The thing is this, when he brought that offering, he knew his condition as a sinful man. And when he comes to God, he recognized what his need was. He was a sinner and he was guilty. He recognized his guilty because he needed salvation. Romans 8:1 is a verse that we all love to hear. It says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." There's no condemnation those who are in Christ. But yet, before you accept Christ, there was a need because you were condemned. We're all condemned before God. We're all, there's a need. And he recognized when he brought that offering before, because God told him to bring that offering as a process of time where they could come and recognize they needed the Savior. And that offering, we recognize the need of salvation because he needed, because he was guilty. John 3:36 tells us, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The wrath of God abideth on him. If I didn't have Christ, I have the wrath of God on me. Without Christ, I'm condemned. What hope does man have? Yet when he brought that offering, it recognized the need. He recognized his need of his sin. He recognized the need of salvation. But yet you see the Cain that came and he brought the fruit of the ground. He brought great vegetables, he brought fruit and flowers as he was equal with God. He was present like just being buddies, but God not would have it. Isaiah 57 verse 15 said, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." Let me say it again. "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in high and lofty, a holy place." Listen, this God we come to is not a God we can just say our buddies and we're just like this. He's a high and righteous God. He's a holy God. And when he brought that offering, he recognized that he was a holy God and he needed him. Cain brought the fruit again on his abilities like he's equal with God. That's the problem in our society today. Everybody thinks we're okay with God. We're just buddies and I'll just show up and God will be pleased with who I am. But he's not. Because he sees who you are. 1 Samuel 2:2 says, "There is none holy as the Lord." None. "There is none that besides thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." He's a holy God. Numbers 23:19 tells me that God is not a man that should lie. That means I'm a liar. That means He's a holy, righteous God. He doesn't lie. Psalms 10:4 tells me the wicked, though pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts. And I pondered on these thoughts here, that here's a prideful man that desire to serve God because he brought his own stuff, because he don't need God. But Abel brought the offering because he knew he needed him. Then when I read the scripture, that shows me that everybody needs God. But the thing is, we got to realize your need because of sinful condition and need of salvation. If that's so true, then we got to see that the whole world needs Christ, doesn't it? That means the whole world's condemned. That means the whole world's got the wrath of God if they don't have Christ. Does that move us? Does that burn us? Because his worship recognized his condition. Listen, it showed his remorse. Abel saw this true condition. Men are trying to climb up some other way or without the cross. Certain man flung the hymn book of gesture of disgust, and he said, because the book had, there is a fountain filled with blood. He said it was coarse and unfit and for refined ears. He said that the idea of a bath of blood was an outrage. A man stood up and said, read part of Zechariah 13:1, and says, in that day there shall be a fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. There's a song that says, is the solid rock. But it goes, my hope is built on nothing less than the Jesus blood. Amen. Without that blood, without that sacrifice, without remorse, then I need him. Listen, if you think the blood of Christ is coarse and unfit, refined ears, the problem is you're so full of pride. You need him more than you need anything else. Cain's offering was not accepted. 1 John 1:7 said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Romans 5:9 says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we are saved from the wrath through him. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Listen, it showed his remorse of needing salvation. Listen, when he brought that offering, he needed Christ. He needed God. He needed him. Abel's faith testified that one is to worship God must come by faith. It ain't by works or abilities or who we are. It's offering to God what he expects. Expect what God would do because he trusted God. Let me go back. Maybe I'm missing something here for everybody to hear. Genesis 3, we go back to verse 15. It says this, he promised Adam and Eve that I will put an enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. He was looking for that seed, that man child, and that picture, that sacrifice will picture what that child will do. It's that picture of Jesus Christ. Is that picture he's going to pay the sin debt. He's to testify that he was going to worship a God by faith, presenting an offering to God, expect God to do what he's going to do. The first step of salvation is called sin, sin. It ain't a mistake. Being shacked up is wrong. Listen, watching dirty movies is wrong. Smoking is wrong. Drinking is wrong. Sin is sin. Call it what it is. Because let me tell you, it kills and destroys lives. It makes mamas and daddies separated. Boys and girls lose mamas and daddies. Sin destroys. Sin never helps. The trouble is we call little sin, it doesn't matter, but it doesn't stay little. It doesn't stay little. We love little sin, but the problem is loving little sin is a great sin. The devil's chloroform is the denial of sin. For sin deceives, then it defiles, then it deadens. James 1:15 says, when lust conceive, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it finish, it bringeth forth death. This kind of like people say, well, you know, this is what I believe. This is what I think. It doesn't matter what you think, what you believe. It matters what he thinks and he believes. That's what it matters. The problem is, I don't think this. It doesn't matter. It matters what him, and I got to go to him because when he, listen, the devil deadens and makes it not a big deal. It's like it's no big deal to miss church. It's no big deal not go soul winning. It's not a big deal to get involved in missions. It's not a big deal to get in a building promo. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Because our purpose is to reach the world for Christ. That's the purpose of our life. For Him. To glorify Him. But it deadens us. Listen, His worship not just recognize His sin, but it recognized the sacrifice. verse 4, it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. More excellent sacrifice. He was a shepherd, but he did not spare his flock. Genesis 4:4 it says, and Abel also brought the firstling of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect on Abel and his offering. He brought the best. Listen, he brought the sacrifice of the lamb. He did not, listen, he loved his lamb. He didn't doubt it. But listen, he gave his best to God, what he had. But he did not spare the lamb, just as God did not spare his lamb, the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Listen, he gave his best for the ruined and undone sinners. That was Carl Stanley. And that was you. He gave his best for you. There was a pastor one time visited a family that the lady lost her child in a car accident. The brother's mother, the mother of the boy was upset and bitter in heart and railed on the preacher. She said, "Where was your God when my son died?" The pastor kindly answered and said, "The same place he was when his son died." He gave his best for us. A preacher was burdened with souls. One day he was sitting in a barber's chair waiting to get it shaved. While the barber was sitting getting to sharpen his razor for the shave, he says, "Sir, are you saved?" The barber shouted back, "I'm doing my best, and that's good enough, isn't it?" The preacher sat still for a while for the shave. The next customer was in the chair for the shave. Pastor rose up, grabbed the razor, and said, "Let me shave this one." "Oh, no," said the barber, "not you. You're not good enough to do that." But "I will do my best," replied the preacher. Isn't that good enough? It's never good enough, is it? The sacrifice of salvation was not to make bad men good or good men better. It's to make dead men alive. Amen. That's what it's about. His sacrifice was not recognized as sin, but recognizes the sacrifice, the excellency of his sacrifice. He says, "In you hath he quickened that were dead in trespassing sins." Listen, it's conforming to this world. It's not turning the leaf over. It's taking a dead man and bringing it back to life and it changes him. It takes the drunkard to be sober. It takes a man that doesn't love his wife to love his wife. It takes a man that stole still no more. It takes a man not to be faithful to be faithful. It changes men and women and boys and girls. It takes the dead and makes them alive. By faith, Abel worshiped, not just recognized his sin, but it recognized his sacrifice, but it recognized the salvation. In verse 4, it continues, "And by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous." By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Abel was justified because he was declared righteous by God. He received all this by faith. He did not guess about it. He did not earn it. He would not just claim it. He was declared by God. See, the thing is, people go to church and they get baptized and says, I'm saved. They say, "I said a little prayer and I'm saved. I did it." Listen, if you're declaring your own salvation by your own words, you're not saved. Because it's based on you and your ability. Salvation is based on the Word of God and where God declares a man saved. Not you, not the preacher, not the mom and daddy. Mama said, "I'm saved," but daddy said, "I'm saved." It don't matter what mom and daddy says. It matters what the Word of God says. That's what matters. He took it by faith, by stand. He was saved exactly the same way we were saved, Abel was. By trusting what the Lamb of God will come. He was trusting the blood of Christ. They were looking for that seed. That seed that God promised Adam and Eve. It took almost 4,000 years for the child of God, that God Himself come. And listen, by faith they were looking for that. It was a shadow of the things to come for Him to come. We come to a simple place of faith, claim the promise that, listen, the death, burial, and resurrection. It's placing ourselves upon the mercy of God and calling upon His finished work. What much can you do to be saved but trust the mighty God that died on the cross for you? He rose from the grave. Listen, His sacrifice He gave recognizes sin, but not just recognizes sin. It recognizes the sacrifice it did, but listen, it recognizes salvation. It's salvation and trusting the Almighty God. John 4:25 says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." God is satisfied with His salvation because the Bible says faith is trusting. He says faith is trusting Christ paying the sin debt. We cannot merit. We can't work for it. It's placing our death on Christ between the sinner and the man. Listen, for by grace are you saved through faith and not yourself. It's a gift of God. It ain't by my works and my ability and my merits. It is what is standing. I'm putting Christ between the wrath of God and me, between Him. I can't do anything about it. It's only between me and Christ. I put Christ there. I need Christ. That sacrifice He offered was showing a worship that He trusted God and He depended on God, and it was that God that's going to save him. Man cannot be saved by perfect obedience because he cannot do it. He cannot be saved by imperfect obedience because God cannot accept it. Calvary is the only way. Calvary is the only way. And I speak, you know, you say, well, preacher, I'm saved. Well, that's good. But does your worship by faith show that you was a sinner? Does your faith show that you gave your excellent best for God? Are you really giving your best? You give your offerings to God and say, is that good enough? But God wants your best. He gave the excellency of His sacrifice, the best of His sheep. What are you giving to God? God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your money to build this building. God doesn't need your money to make this, send out missionaries. He doesn't need that. He's a God that owns everything. Then what is it God wants from us? He wants you. He wants to give your best, who you are. So here am I, Lord. It ain't worth much, but here am I. God takes us, but He wants us. It's something valuable. Listen, I need, as a pastor or a father or a daddy, whatever your husband, I need to give my children to God. Give my best to God. I need to give my life to God. When the offering plate went by, you shouldn't have put the money in. You should put yourselves in. That's what you should have put in. Because God doesn't need the wallet. He needs you. He wants you. There was a group of scientists and a botanist one day were exploring almost inaccessible regions of the mountains searching for a new species of flowers. One day they discovered through the field glass a flower of such rarity and beauty that its value to science was almost incalculable. However, it lay deep in a ravine that had cliffs straight up and down both sides. In order to reach this rare plant, someone would have to be lowered over the drop-off by means of a rope that is very dangerous and undertaking. A small boy was watching nearby, and they approached the boy, and they offered him some money if they would consent to be lowered over the cliff and get the flower for them. The little boy looked along dizzy depth of the where the plant was, and he replied, "Just a minute, I'll be right back." A little later, he came back, returned with an older man. The approaching to the botanist, he told the botanist, "I'll go over the cliff and get the flower for you if this man holds the rope. He's my father." Let me ask you a question. Who's holding your rope? Who's holding your rope of salvation? Amen. Are you holding your rope? Is your prayers holding your rope? Is your baptism holding your rope? Or is it the blood of Jesus Christ holding your rope? Are you trying to live a good life in this world? It'll slip through their hands. Who's holding your rope? I ask you, are you saved? You say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I'm a member of Grace Baptist Church." I didn't ask if you're a member of Grace Baptist Church. I'm asking you saved. Your name may be rolled here at Grace Baptist Church, but is your name enrolled in glory? Is your name written in the book of life? That's what's important. Does your worship reveal that you're in need of sin because of sin? Does it show your sacrifice, what you've given to God because you love Him? Listen, your best you can't give to God for salvation, but He gave the best for you. Does your worship reveal the salvation He changed your life? The question is this: who's holding your rope? Who's holding your rope? Let's stand, everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed. The Bible said, "But many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, to them that believed on His name." That means I'm a child of God when I received Him. I accepted Him. I've been born again. I'm His son. Then why is it we hinder in our life not trusting Him? Why is our life of faith not worshiping? We're showing that we need Him. We worry about everything, this and that, but we're not really trusting God. Abel's faith recognized his sin, sacrifice, and salvation. But do your worship describes your life of faith? As the piano plays, you come. If you say, "Preacher, I'm not saved," you come. "Preacher, I need to join the church," then you come. Say, "Preacher, I need to give my life more to God. I'm not going to worry about what other people think." You come. Listen, if you don't make a decision to follow God, then you're not going to do nothing for God. Why do we hinder ourselves from following God? Is our worship was so good, we're going to sit back and do nothing? Oh, come. If you come, maybe somebody else will come.
Still I will follow, no turning back, no turning back. Behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Somebody decided. The thing is this, folks. We got to make a decision in our life. We're going to make a decision to follow Christ. You say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven." But you know what? We need to give ourselves more to God than what we're doing today. One more stanza. The altar is here not for the sinners to get saved. It's for the Christians to get their life closer to God. You say, "I got no sin." Well, that's the first person I've met in an independent fundamental Baptist church that I got no sin.
No turning back.
One more stand. Everybody sings.
No turning.
Can you sing it? Mean it though.
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back.
Y'all may be seated. Mike, you come up, and your wife, Kim, y'all come up. This is Mike Wascom and his wife, Kim Wascom. Mike got saved when, Mike? About a week ago?
On the 7th.
On the 7th, March 7th. Brother Ray talked to him, and he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And he's just coming forward to make a profession that he's trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Excited? Amen. Amen. His wife, Kim, has been saved. How old are you, Kim, when you said you got saved? Back when?
That was 2005.
2005, and she trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior, but she'd never been scripturally baptized. And there's a family coming to get baptized and follow the Lord in obedience. And I just lost a train of thought. But listen. Salvation is not based on baptism, is it? Yeah, right. Listen, salvation is only based on the blood of Jesus Christ. But yeah. Baptism is an evidence telling everybody what Christ done. It's identifying what Christ did on the inside. And listen, I'm excited. I know you're nervous coming forward. But listen, you always be obedient. Now, nobody else comes to the altar. But they came to the altar. Listen, you know why a preacher talks about going to the altar? Because that's where we meet God. And we talk to God and make commitments. It's the most important thing. Husbands, you need to pray for your wives. You know it. Wives, you need to be praying for your husbands. You know it too, don't you? Yeah, we do. Listen, we're just a local church, family people trying to live for God, but we need God more than anything else. Amen.